EEOC. Are they dueling out there? What's going on out there? EEOC versus Thrive and Financial for Lutherans. So, good morning. Good morning. It is still morning. Ms. Bruner, hello.
Good morning.
Do you understand the tax code now?
Not really.
Oh, dear, I was hoping you could come up here and help us. All of you.
Makes you feel good about what you do, doesn't it?
All right.
May it please the court. My name is Paula Bruner, and I represent the EEOC, the appellant in this case. This ADA case was brought to challenge Thrive Financial's disclosure, illegal disclosure, of a former employee's medical information to prospective employers. The district court granted summary judgment to Thrive Financial on the issue of whether a medical inquiry was made and terminated the case, even though the EEOC's cross motion presented an alternative theory for finding that the ADA's confidentiality provision was violated.
Are you saying this was a medical inquiry?
No, Your Honor. We're saying this was a job performance-related inquiry at this point.
Is that, and did you argue that below?
We did argue it below, Your Honor. In our cross motion for partial summary judgment, the crux of that motion was about the fact that we believed the inquiry that Thrive made through Omni was about Mr. Messier's absence and therefore was job-related and performance in nature.
I'm sorry, it was about his what?
His absence.
Absence.
Yes. Mr. Messier was a contract employee on a temporary contract working for Thrive Financial. And on this particular occasion, he had a severe migraine, and that precluded him from being able to call in, a matter that was unusual for Mr. Messier. The Thrive Financial manager reached out to Omni, the agency that placed him, and to inquire, you know, what's going on. And, in turn, the Omni representative, Mr. Breyer, sent an email to Mr. Messier inquiring as to his whereabouts and indicating that Thrive needed to know where
now,
he was.
Forgive me for interrupting, but see, I'm very curious as to why the EEOC didn't make the argument that when employers make inquiries about one's whereabouts, the resulting disclosed information is rarely voluntary. In other words, what do you think of this idea that most of the time when employees provide medical information voluntarily, they really feel obligated to do so? You know,
that's true, Your Honor, and particularly when the person is an employer that's making the inquiry. In this particular instance, Mr. Messier was asked, what's going on? Where are you?
I know, but that argument doesn't seem to have been made.
Your Honor, instead we made the argument that the disclosure was clearly not voluntary because there was an inquiry made by an employer. And the D.C. Circuit in Doe made very clear that when a medical response is given in reaction to an employer's inquiry, especially about one's absence, that is job-related in nature. That we believe
you're
that
relying entirely upon your view of the meaning of inquiries in Section D4B, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
That's it?
Yes, Your Honor.
There's nothing else here that would support your point of view. Is that correct?
That supports our point of view that this was a performance-related inquiry and that Section 4DC supports our D4C supports our argument that any medical information given in response to that inquiry is protected under the confidentiality provision.
If one of my employees failed to show up for work as scheduled, I would certainly call or email to say what's going on. But not because I want to know whether she can perform the functions of her job, but rather because I would worry, that something had happened. job capability isn't even one of the questions I would be entertaining. So what I'm trying to figure out is how can we assume it was the question that the employer was asking here?
Your Honor, as I pointed out, in Doe, the D.C. Circuit said that whatever the actual motivations the employer may have had in asking the question, where are you or are you okay, in that particular instance, that court concluded that that still implicates a subsidiary question or an ancillary question of whether one can perform their job.
Yeah, but here what we've got is, you know, John called out of concern for your well-being. I as well get concerned about your well-being because you're very good about notifying us when you're going to be out. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't that be proof positive that the supervisor's inquiry was about Mr. Messier's well-being and not about his job capabilities?
Taking everything in context, Your Honor, it could have been just as much about his well-being. However, even Mr. Messier understood that it was also about his ability to be able to perform his contract. As you will note in his response toward the end, he also goes on to say, if all goes well, I will be in tomorrow on schedule.
But of course, he says this is way more than you wanted to know.
Oh, yes,
so
certainly.
He knows the inquiry.
But that
is different.
But that was in response. But that was that statement followed the details he provided about his medical condition.
No.
It precedes.
Yeah, no. It seems to me that the statement, "What's going on?" and in this context, really meant, "Where are you today?"
Exactly.
I mean, it's a bit of a stretch to get from there to, "Can you perform your job related?" function, isn't it? I mean,
but as I stated,
what's the subtext?
The subtext, Your Honor, is this is a gentleman who normally does call in when he's going to be absent or seek leave prior to an absence. This is also a context where this is a temporary contract employee. So here he is who can only perform this particular job. So here on this particular occasion, he has not called in. He is absent. He's a no-show. And the employer is curious as to his whereabouts. In Ford Motor, that particular district court also found that inquiries about one's absence is job-related. And to the extent that you decide that as a matter of law, this is not a determination that can be made, we would then urge this court to still remand this issue to the district court for a trial on it to see what inferences a jury would draw. We believe that these stipulated facts could support more than one interpretation that happened to be conflicting. And in that particular case, that is a matter that should be resolved by a jury and not a judge, and not at the district court level, and certainly not at summary judgment.
Well, in Doe, which you cited in support of your point of view, the employer demanded submission of forms explaining, quote, the nature of his illness. Now, I don't see how that's anywhere near comparable with this situation.
How it's comparable to this situation, Your Honor, is that in Doe, specifically the court said, under the circumstances of this case, we think Doe's submission of an FMLA form was clearly a response to an employer inquiry and not a voluntary disclosure, a finding that the district court made. In other words, we interpret
Doe.
Well,
that's another issue, isn't it?
No. Well, we interpret Doe to say that if there's an employer inquiry, then the response that's given cannot be voluntary, which would make one aspect of the district court's decision.
That's hard for me to imagine what an employer can say to an employee that, from that view, wouldn't be an inquiry. How are you today? What's up?
And Your Honor, the issue here,
whatever comes out from the employee after that, then is in response to an inquiry. That's just hard to believe.
Well, Your Honor, it's a fact the employer is initiating the exchange that then leads to a medical response. Section D4C says that
an employee goes out to lunch and has a medical visit while they're out and comes back, and the supervisor says, "What's up?" or "How was your lunch?" And the employee dumps all that information about having seen the doctor and so on and so forth.
We would say that D4C covers that medical information for this particular reason. For this particular reason. The ADA was enacted.
Managers better not talk to their employees under this scenario.
No, Your Honor. Managers can talk to their employees.
About
the violation is not the inquiry. The violation is not the employer receiving the medical information. The violation is the employer disclosing this information to persons that do not fall within the three exceptions set forth in the ADA. The persons to whom the Thrive Financial disclosed Mr. Messier's medical information was not a supervisor or a manager who needed to know for the purposes of work restrictions, work duties, or reasonable accommodations this information. It was not disclosed to safety or emergency officials who needed to render treatment. And it was not disclosed to government officials who were conducting an investigation to determine compliance. This was disclosed, even worse, to prospective employers in the context of a job reference. And this this disclosure essentially contributes to another type of violation or potential violation. And that is that Mr. Messier, in this context, with respect to the prospective employers, was an applicant. And the ADA wholly prevents, absolutely prevents, any medical information being divulged to or received by employers at the applicant stage pre-offer, which is essentially what the conduct of Thrive Financial did when it disclosed this information in the job reference. We're not opposed to the inquiries, Your Honor. We're not saying that the ADA is violated by any question that the employer may ask or even places them in any position when they receive medical information except to protect it from disclosure to persons that do not fit within those three exceptions. Instead, we are saying that when you have an employer receiving medical information, which, as you pointed out, can happen in the realities of the workplace, and even in some contexts, in a voluntary disclosure, particularly when an employee is seeking reasonable accommodation, the ADA law requires that the employee initiate a conversation and disclose the medical need in order to get the accommodation. And we cannot believe that Congress would have expected that type of medical information to be unprotected merely because it was voluntarily disclosed. Here you have a situation, a person's absent. They're not there, then they're therefore not performing their job. We believe that there's sufficient evidence here to support a finding that that inquiry then was job-related or performance-related. Can you do your job? What's going on? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you at work? And that would be the extension that could potentially come from a need to know what's going on in this context, and that the medical response given to that inquiry was fine. And it was okay that Thrive got that. It's what they did with it afterwards that we're concerned about. I'm not sure how much time I have left.
Am I correct in thinking that the EEOC has framed the issue here to be whether the inquiry, what's going on, is an inquiry into whether the employee can perform the functions of the job?
That is correct, Your Honor, particularly when this employee has been absent from work.
And you believe that Mr. Messier was responding to an inquiry about his ability to do the job?
Yes, Your Honor, as indicated by his response, not only revealing his medical situation, but also letting Mr. Bray and Mr. Schreibert know that if all goes well, I will be in tomorrow's schedule. I hope this answers your concerns, and that I am fully committed to Thrivent and Omni through the remainder of my contract. In other words, I think that even Mr. Messier understood that one of the underlying concerns in asking that question was whether you can fulfill the terms of your contract, whether you can perform your job. And we believe that that is sufficient to at least go to a jury at a minimum, and certainly should not have been disposed of at summary judgment and the case terminated.
Thank you. Mr. Lynch.
Good morning, judges.
Good morning.
I'll make this quick because I know you're behind schedule, and I think
don't give up anything just because I'm Lady Bountiful.
Okay. But I think
my brothers hate me. Don't let that bother you.
We love her, but we won't discourage you from being quick.
Okay, I appreciate that. So I think that the facts in this appeal are pretty straightforward. The law is very straightforward. We asked a Judge Griesbach to rule on a threshold issue. I mean, that's what the stipulation says. To decide on this threshold issue whether there was a medical inquiry had been made by Thrivent of Mr. Messier. And that's what our stipulation says.
Well did EEOC argue below that this was a job-related inquiry? Did they develop that argument?
They did. And in their briefing, they claimed that the judge ignored that. But the way I understood it, and I think the way Judge Griesbach understood it below, was that their argument that this was – the basic claim is this is a medical inquiry. That's what they say in paragraph 8 of their complaint. That's what we stipulated to. Judge, decide whether this is a medical inquiry. Then we get in the briefing, and the EEOC argues that whether some inquiry into an employee's ability to perform job-related functions is a – whether that's a medical inquiry, which we would agree that would be a medical inquiry. That's within the – definition of the statute.
Don't many employees view voluntary disclosure as mandatory in the sense that most employees would feel uncomfortable asking for a sick day without revealing the reason behind the request?
To be honest, I've been an employment lawyer for 30 years, and I plan to retire as the other gentleman does, said he was going to rather soon.
What have we done to you? What have we done to you?
And the answer, based on my experience, is no. It maybe 30 years ago, but now, no. People, if somebody has a reason to be gone, they know what their rights are, and if they have FMLA time, the employer can, or FMLA entitlement, the employer can press them on those kind of things. But in this context, when somebody doesn't show up for the whole day, he doesn't respond to an email until almost 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the email is so innocuous. It says, Gary, give us a call and give John a call. We need to know what is going on. John called here looking for you. John being the gentleman at Thrivent who was waiting for this contract employee to show up all day. To say that kind of a communication to an employee is going to prompt most employees to disclose medical information, I think is just such a far stretch. It's hard to fathom.
What do you suppose is the rationale for protecting medical information given in response to inquiry, but not that which is voluntarily given? I mean, isn't the potential harm to the employee from disclosure really the same?
Potentially. But the way we're looking at this, how the statute's written, and it talks about protecting confidential medical information that is derived from inquiries, and whether we call it a medical inquiry or an inquiry into your ability to do job-related functions, it's the same thing. And the EEOC, as you probably saw in its briefs, kind of cuts off the whole thing about inquiry into an employee's ability to do the job. They use a shorthand that these are in employment-related inquiries.
Well, then the statutory aspect of this boil down to the meaning of the second sentence of D4B, which talks about a covered entity may make inquiries into the ability of an employee to perform job-related functions, period. Doesn't say anything about medical. The word medical does not appear. However, it's part of a discussion of medical examination, but it just doesn't. And this sentence does not How do you interpret that?
But I think that is the definition of a medical inquiry. And that's what we were talking about, asking the judge to decide whether there had been a medical inquiry.
Well, it doesn't say anything about a medical inquiry. It talks about the ability of an employee to perform job-related functions.
And it talks about inquiries. And the short.
Well, yeah, but that's what we're trying to define is inquiry.
And the EOC takes the view that communications or information becomes protected under the ADA, confidential medical information becomes protected if it is disclosed as a result of an inquiry. So shorthand, we call it medical
inquiry. And what is a covered inquiry?
Yeah, as far as we're concerned, it's not just how are you today or, you know, where were you? Why didn't you call in? Or why did you clock out 5 minutes late? You know, the way the EOC interprets all those questions, if an employee then spills their guts and tells them about all the terrible things going on in their life personally, now we've got confidential medical information.
Well, I think it all boils down to that sentence, doesn't it?
I agree. What the EOC is arguing beyond this threshold issue, which is all we asked the judge to decide.
Well, they're sort of taking that sentence in and of itself as an isolated item.
Yes.
You're relating it to what goes before in the statute, which is talking about medical examinations and so on.
Right. They're interrelated, for sure. Definitely.
I think you could do either. I mean, there's statutory canons that would support either point of view, aren't there?
Yeah, perhaps I'm not an expert on statutory canons, but I think that we're talking
about.
You
have to be again to understand this case.
Yeah. But what the EOC is arguing, I mean, really, it's ignoring this threshold argument or threshold issue, I should say, and arguing more. Well, what happened later on is really what's the problem, you know, that there's this disclosure to prospective employers, which, of course, there wasn't in the record. There was a disclosure to a reference checking company about his migraine headaches. There's nothing in the record that says there was any disclosure to any prospective employers. And she's arguing that's the violation. But we asked the judge, we had to get over this first hurdle, and the judge rightly said, Judge Griesbach rightly said, there wasn't a medical inquiry here, however you defined it. And based on that, we think that the judge was absolutely correct and that his decision should be affirmed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. I'm going to give you have a minute. Can you give her two?
Whatever you want.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to give you 2 minutes.
Thank you so very much. I just wanted to point out that we presented two arguments in the district court to undergird our allegation that the ADA's confidentiality provision was violated. The first was the medical inquiry, which is not before this court on appeal. The second was the job performance-related inquiry, which does not require a medical element. It does not have to meet the same standard as a medical inquiry, something that is designed to elicit medical information. What Congress was trying to do, and if you look at the intent of the statute, was to remove any bias or stigma from the employment process. And to do that, they promoted medical privacy by creating this confidentiality provision that prevented disclosure of any medical information that might have been forthcoming to a job performance-related inquiry. Interestingly, most courts have determined that a medical response in response to a medical inquiry is equally protected. But the actual plain language of the statute does not extend that protection. We, however, would think that this court, as has others, would, though, conclude
well,
that Congress
case law
probably
doesn't support your position, does it?
I'm sorry?
The case law is against you, basically.
The case law is for us. The case law in Doe by the D.C. Circuit is for us. The case law in Ford Motor is for us. And that
well,
is
Doe
where
is nothing like this case.
Doe
all
is very much like
I
this case,
out.
Your Honor. In Doe, the employee was missing for was also absent in that particular case, missing for several weeks. And an employer made an inquiry to explain why are you absent. And in that particular case, they were told if you do not respond, you will be terminated. And the way you can respond is one of two ways. And the way the employee in the Doe case chose to respond was to complete an FMLA form.
That's a way different question than was asked here.
I'm sorry?
That question is way different than was asked here.
In Doe, they simply were asking to explain your absence.
Explain, quote, the nature of your illness, unquote.
That was the question on the form, Your Honor. The inquiry by the employer,
well,
by the supervisor.
The form, didn't they?
No, the employer gave Mr. Doe an opportunity to respond one of two ways. He just chose to fill out the FMLA form on which there was a question. But the initial question, getting this ball rolling, was from the supervisor to explain Mr. Doe's absence from work. And the D.C. Circuit held that that inquiry was job performance related. And we simply are applying that position in this case. It, ultimately, that court ruled that there were disputed issues of fact as to whether it was a medical inquiry because of the FMLA form's presentation. But we're not going that far in this case. We're just simply saying that there's sufficiency here, sufficient evidence to support a finding that this was performance related. If in fact, as a matter of law, if you don't agree, we think there's still enough here to at least send it to a jury. We do think it was also well presented to the district court, even though the district court misunderstood that these are two separate inquiries, medical inquiries in Section 4DA and the job performance related inquiries in Section 4DB. And we would like to say that in looking at this case, we hope that you will look at the ADA's intent in promoting medical privacy and eliminating bias and discrimination from the employment process for people with disabilities.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Bruner, and thank you, Mr. Lynch. Have good trips back, and the case will be taken under advisement.